government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints. This is your host, Don Nikoloff, and it's nice to have you here on this February the 23rd, Friday evening. It's still February 22nd, that magic 222, and another 2 together, followed by an 8. We've got 8s on both sides. That means something good is going to happen. What? I don't know. We had some technical difficulties and got started a bit late. I understand tonight's guest was boycotting our show for about 5 minutes, and he had a change of heart. I'm just kidding. So he'll be with us momentarily. Just an update on things. The media has been beating the drums. What drums have they been beating? Well, we are given a choice of two Democratic candidates that are at each other's throats. And after staying at each other's throats, sort of like cats needing declawing, at the conclusion of the most recent Democratic debate, they kissed and made up. Wasn't that sweet? That followed a total eclipse of the moon. And this eclipse basically was used as a magical event. They took down the satellite USA 193, and if we're to believe that they shot this down in the dark from a ship at sea, well then, I don't know what to say. We may talk about that a little bit with tonight's guest. I have my own suspicions that they used a particle beam weapon, probably one that was out in space, and basically obliterated the satellite that was making a tumbling descent towards re-entry back into our atmosphere. And the issue behind that was an inordinate amount of hydrazine that had not been spent. That's a fuel that the satellite uses as they manipulate it and maneuver it into whatever position they want. What was the nature of the satellite? Well, USA 193, as I understand, was a top-secret military spy satellite. As if we don't have enough of them around the planet, they had to have one more. I guess they have to be able to read the hairs off of your rear license plate with that one. We'll stay up with that story as we hear more. I understand it will take some 40 days or so for all of the little bits of the explosion and the fragments to re-enter the atmosphere. They claim that this hydrazine fuel will burn itself off, and most likely most of the descending parts will burn themselves before reaching the surface of the Earth. Of course, there's no guarantee, there's no telling how many thousands or millions of parts this thing has broken up into. So we'll just have to pay close attention. If you do see fragments of this satellite fall, please call BBS Radio and let us know, and we'll be the first in the media to report it. I hope that really happens. We need to stay on top of this. Now, tonight, we are going to welcome calls. We have a regular Friday night guest with us. He's a scientist, author, inventor, lecturer, and teacher, and also he's a good friend, not just of mine, but of the BBS Radio listening audience. And we invite you to call in at area code 877-876-5227. That's the USA toll-free line. Also in the USA and Canada, you can call 888-815-9756, or the direct line, area code 530-876-3222. Also, our BBS station 2 lines are open, so we can take lots of calls tonight. And those numbers, area code 888-228-4494. Again, that's toll-free in the USA and Canada. Also, 877-489-6350. That's toll-free worldwide. We know you're listening to us in China. You're listening to us in Europe and Australia. And we want to encourage you to call and talk to us. Wir sprechen Deutsch, nous parlons le français, parlo italiano, ich kann speziell Schweizer Deutsch reden. So we can speak to you regardless of where you are in the world. Now, there are a couple of languages I don't speak. Watch us get a call from Nigeria or something. Also, our three direct lines, and I know you're writing all these down. If you're not, you can go to the bbsradio.com index page and get these numbers. But for those of you who have the lights off and have your screen monitors dimmed a little bit so you can get into the mood, these numbers are all area code 530, and the numbers are 776-5154, 776-5185, and finally 876-9916. That is my public service announcement for the evening. We welcome your calls. You may have questions or comments about the show, and particularly the topic that we're going to discuss tonight, or should I say topics, because we really haven't planned anything this evening. So we're going to start off talking about this story I just mentioned. I'd like to welcome our weekly guest to Evident Footprints, my good friend Jim Murray. Jim, how are you this evening?
Wow, my head is swimming with all those numbers. other than that, I'm fine. How are you, Don?
I'm good. I'm glad you changed your mind and decided to come on the show tonight.
Well, you know, I have a big heart. I couldn't stay mad at you forever.
Well, what's your take on this satellite story? Have you been following that, or is that the first time you heard of it?
No, I had heard of it, but, you know, it's like so many other things. After a while, you don't know what to make of anything. So I didn't really follow it, but I like your theory, though. I think it makes more sense than the old missile idea. Of course, I suppose, you know, if we really want to give them any credit, they probably could have heat sensors or some other kind of sensors that would allow them to fire a missile at night. But frankly, in consideration of all of the other stresses that are going on in the world, I'll tell you how I interpreted the thing. I don't want to open a can of worms here, but you asked for my opinion. You know that the Wantagate thing has escalated to incredible, unexpected complexity. And there are a lot of countries that are really ticked off at us right now, China and Russia, for example. And it just seems interesting to me that this satellite needed to be destroyed at such an opportune moment in time. It almost sounds like a demonstration of capability. In other words, you know, you guys want to pick a fight, here's what you're up against type of thing. I look at it from the standpoint that if that's in fact what really is going on, that it was a demonstration of military capability, our standard weapons are well understood, and there's lots of people around the world who know what we can do with the missiles that are carried on normal ships. Shooting down a satellite with something like that, I don't think would make an impression of any great magnitude. However, if this was a particle weapon coming from a space platform, now that would have considerable impact. And so, regardless of what they tell us, the other countries may well see this entire episode in a different light, depending on where the destructive force really came from, Don.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you know, I was being a bit facetious about them doing it in the dark. In fact, I would guess that when you get out into space, if the direct sunlight's not hitting it, they wouldn't see it anyway. But they have, certainly all the other satellites up there could hone in on this thing. And the story is that they launched it, I think, on December 6th of 2006. Interesting date, that's about the one-year anniversary of the initial Wantagate settlement. And I'm surprised pleasantly that you kind of tied that together. I had brought that point out last Sunday on the Mission Possible show. I was a guest invited by Dr. Len Horowitz and Reverend Roxy Hampton. And we discussed this whole issue, the hydrazine and the fact that it's a toxic substance, and that there was the potential for this to reach the Earth or reach the atmosphere. Not, there was so much that the possibility of it not burning up was very realistic and still might be, because I would have to think that even if they blew this up, that eventually if it's tumbling back into the atmosphere, all of that fluid, whatever didn't ignite and actually blow up, could pretty well work its way into the chemtrail layer of our atmosphere and then be carried all over the place. And that was a very realistic discussion that we had. Obviously, they're able to fill the chemtrails with all kinds of viruses and metals and maybe even some unknown substances. We also have a picture on my directlightproductions.com website in the photo section of the inside of a CIA chemtrail plane and nine huge tanks. Now, they might argue that those tanks are filled with beer, but they removed all the seats for the most part. There were a couple of seats in the rear of the plane, but there are at least nine of these tanks on this airplane, eight of them visible. One we know is hidden in the lavatory compartment. So their denials that they're doing this are absurd, and we have photographic evidence, and it is on my website. Anyone can go take a look at those pictures. I think I only put two pictures up, one of the inside of the certain plane owned by the CIA, and the other one is a large jet retrofitted with the spray equipment, and you can see it's putting out rather large plumes of the chemtrail solution. So it's pretty compelling evidence, and we're going to be posting a whole series of these pictures, the crisscross patterns that are appearing everywhere around the country now. Any comment about that?
Well, certainly nothing good. I mean, I don't know exactly what they're up to with that stuff. The only thing I can say is that I know that there's a directive, if you want to call it that, to kill off approximately one-half to two-thirds of the Earth's population so that these nitwits can extend their resources for another few centuries without worrying about overpopulation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually not even a well-kept secret. You know, the it's stated bluntly in the UN manifesto what their objectives are. So God only knows what they have in that stuff, but I do know that an awful lot of people have had, myself included, by the way, have had incredibly peculiar and long-lasting attacks on their lungs in the last year and a half in particular. As a matter of fact, I was just talking this morning to some people that said that they've never experienced anything in their whole lives before, as the colds and flu-type symptoms that they've had, which are not abating in any way. They can't get rid of the darn thing. Some people are even hospitalized. And we know there have been a lot of deaths. So the
yes.
only thing I can say is I guess it's working just fine. Our government is doing a good job.
Yeah, they're accomplishing their goal. Now, you brought up another good point. In fact, last night I had one of your good friends, Michael Anthony, on our show, and we talked about this rash of hospital visits that's occurring around the country. And I have some personal friends who have recently been in the hospital and seen the number of people lining up in the emergency wards. As you know, my father's been in the hospital, and I witnessed the same thing myself. Large numbers of people, and basically I was standing in line just to find out what room I could see him in, and so I got to overhear these conversations that people were having with the check-in nurse. And of course, the first thing they want to find out is, you know, who has insurance, who's able to pay. And then once they sort that out, they get around to treating people. But there were people, even after my visit there, who, and I had stayed a good hour and a half or 2 hours, there were people there still that had not been waited on, still standing in line to be treated. And that's quite a long time under an emergency situation to be waiting for treatment. And of course, these people aren't finding out what their problem is. Now, we know Michael Anthony's stuff works, and he's had a lot of success, even with Morgellons. We've talked about the fact that Morgellons is caused by what they're spraying, and we've sort of moved from satellites and dangerous debris to chemtrails here, but this is a reality, and it's part of what they're doing to us. And you brought up what's the word I'm looking for? Well, you were rather ingenious, we'll say, in notifying us that it might just be a diversion. May have something totally to do with what's going on with the money situation. There's a lot of international tension over the non-payment of what are called the 1 through 10 tier funds. And this sort of thing and the excitement of a total eclipse of the moon might also just be another diversion. They've got people looking up now at the sky in the middle of the night instead of paying attention to what's going on, which we have been reporting here. We've been reporting it on our TNT NewsHour. It's on my website. Christopher Story in England has been coming out with some blockbuster stories about this. And we know that this is a reality. They keep masking the financial condition of the stock market and the world's economy and our own national economy. But this can't go on forever. All this while there's an election going on, too. And somehow now they've been even able to sneak films of Kirstie Alley in there. I guess they've given up on Britney Spears for a couple of days. So I'm sort of encapsulating everything, you know, that you said and that's going on. And it's directly related even to what you and I have been talking about for the past month or so, when we're talking about these unspoken technological developments, the possibilities of alternative energy and the suppressed technologies. They don't seem to want to hide, at least to some extent, what technologies they have available to shoot things out of space now. Any comment on that?
Well, don't forget, a test that big, regardless of what they used, is going to be noticed by people somewhere, especially if it's done at night, because I'm sure there was a fireball of some sort or an explosion of some sort associated with it. So naturally, there would have to be a cover story. That part's not too surprising. The real thing of interest there, of course, is what is the real intent? It's one thing if they're shooting down an old spy satellite and really have our best welfare in mind, but we all know that that's absolute garbage. So it's not too difficult to refocus on the issue and figure out what it is that they really might be doing. And
yeah.
Considering the fact that all these undercurrents are flowing worldwide that they don't want us to know about, it automatically signals me that the two incidents are related. And by the way, you brought up another interesting point, which I just cannot pass up. And
go for it.
I'm gonna make a comment on it because it's, to me, it's so nauseating that it's almost beyond belief. Just imagine how many people are totally captivated by this rubbish about the girl who lost her marbles there. What's her name? The movie actress that's. You just mentioned her name a minute ago. Britney Spears.
The singer, yeah. She's an entertainer. Yeah.
Yeah, well, whatever she is. She never entertained me. But anyway, the point that I wanted to make, Don, was if it's an old story, like anything that's succeeding, you can automatically figure it out by whether or not they keep doing it. And that's a very old measuring stick that's used in advertising, for instance. If an advertisement draws sales, then they'll use it again. So if this Britney Spears issue is attracting attention, it must be, because otherwise they wouldn't keep battering us endlessly with this girl's infernal activities. So the point that I want to make from all of this is I think it's totally pathetic that there are so many Americans focused on such garbage with such intensity that it keeps it in the news now. For how long have we been watching this rubbish? For what, a year? A year and a half?
Yeah, a couple of years, actually. You don't notice it right away. They started with Paris Hilton, I think. It was a cross between her and Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh,
and then they got Lindsay Lohan in there then. Then they started on Britney Spears, and then it was round the clock. Of course, maybe even before that was Madonna, if you remember. All blonde.
Yeah, I do remember. My point is, who cares? It's amazing to me that America has disintegrated to the point where, you know, our daily lives are treated like a soap opera. And worse than that, the people are watching. What is this indicative of? I mean, we have an average IQ not too much higher than that of a mushroom. You know, we're watching all this stuff and can't wait for the next episode. Meantime, the world is crumbling all around us.
It's
amazing.
I'm a bit offended by your comment because mushrooms actually are pretty good things in an omelet, you know?
Well, they might be pretty good at an omelet, but they don't think about a whole lot.
they have a consciousness. They seem to always be able to produce themselves. You know, they under the right amount of uric acid and you know, I know a lot about how they grow mushrooms. I actually got to learn about that visiting a mushroom plant once, believe it or not, and.
Then the analogy was well chosen because it's like the old expression, you know, they keep us in the dark and feed us fully you know what, just
mushroom. I'm looking for your can of worms. Well, I want to segue. That's a very good point that you made, though. You know, it recapitulates what we have been discussing about mind control and brainwashing and propaganda. It's so senseless. Now let's go to another type of propaganda, and that is that we are the only ones in the universe, at least in our immediate locale, and that regardless of how many millions and millions of people have seen UFOs now, they continue to come up with these stories about weather balloons and crash dummies and swamp gas. Now it's lights and it's weird anomalies. Flares is another, a million candle flares being lowered by parachutes. All able to maintain a symmetrical flight pattern and an equal latitude or altitude rather, and latitude, I guess, and maintain this intelligent position as if they've got the art of dropping flares down to a science that they can.
Well, not only that, but it's just amazing that some of these parachute flares can travel at Mach 6 and execute incredible maneuvers at right angles. You know, just imagine how the wind up there is behaving, that it can push one of these things along at thousands of miles an hour and then almost instantaneously reverse direction or change direction, and the flare just follows right along. It's really amazing.
And without
wind
burning
patterns,
up, burning up the parachute, you know. Well, my segue to that is some absolutely fantastic photos that back up everything you and I have been discussing ever since you first came on Evident Footprints on the old network last June, if you remember. And that is our discussions about Mars, my take on what is up on Mars. And I'm speaking from an intuitive viewpoint, and I've never wavered from that viewpoint. In fact, as I've shared more and more of what I am convinced is going on up on Mars, more evidence has come out, much of it through Richard Hoagland. Now, I came across a really dynamite website, and folks, you ought to write this down and pay it a visit. The website is www.marsanomalyresearch.com. Again, www.marsanomalyresearch.com /evidence-reports 2005. I should have put another / after reports. /2005/084/hale-c-iv-victor/evidence.htm. There are some dynamite pictures on this website of Mars, and there are whole cities, there are streets, there are what appear to be, let's say, farmland, cultivated land, very much like what you see on a photograph of a metropolitan area in the United States, or in other parts of the world for that matter. But some of these buildings, I have to tell you, are absolutely huge. And I have talked about, let's say, from a metaphysical standpoint, seeing boats, seeing skyscrapers, seeing ancient ruins, but this is not ancient ruins. This is the real deal, real-time, high-technology cities. And
I've seen some of those pictures, Dom, and I agree with you. They look exactly like what you would see if you were flying, for instance, above a modern city and suddenly got out in the outskirts and started entering farmland. And you can actually see the road. You can see patches of earth that look like tilled soil. You can see like the patterns change, like maybe there's a different type of crop or this or that. But the most incredible thing is that you can definitely see buildings. And I took advantage of the fact that I work with some people who are not privileged to this kind of information, and I put one of those pictures up on my screen, and I invited three friends of mine to come in and just look at the photograph, and I didn't tell them what it was, and I just said, what does that look like to you? And they said, well, it looks like somebody flying in an airplane above the outskirts of a city or something, looking at farmland and looking at outbuildings of different types and this and that. And then I shrunk the picture a little bit so they could read the title, and it said right across the top, you know, I forget exactly what the title was, but something about evidence of civilization on Mars, and they were flabbergasted, you know. So
yes. Now my take is that we are up there, and it has always been my assertion that we have been up there since the early 1960s. I was picking up the date 1962. And it's been alluded to by several people who have come forward in Project Camelot interviews that they went up there in 1961. That's, 8 years before they announced that we landed on the moon? This is incredible news here. And, of course, have we heard any of this on TV? And they happen to be showing tonight, by the way, and I just checked to see what movies they were brainwashing people with. Planet of the Apes is making the rerun on AMC. So it's funny. They want to keep us in this matrix of retardation, is all I can call it, or stupidity. And these pictures very clearly indicate that there is something going on up there or down there. It depends which way you're looking, I guess. So now you have seen those pictures. The basic address is MarsAnomalyResearch.com. I'm sure if you go to that website, you'll find lots of other things on the pages. There is quite a bit of text there. There's analysis of these photos. And it's obvious that these photos were taken from space, and in within the atmosphere, it's definitely close by.
Yeah, it's not a real high altitude picture. I mean, it looks like maybe 35,000 feet, you know, that type of thing,
mm-hmm.
Almost like what you would see from a conventional aircraft as it's beginning its final descent or something, you know, where she's coming down to lower altitudes. But it certainly isn't taken from space, because even our planet, taken from space, you can't, with a normal camera, you can't even see that there's any civilization here.
Yeah.
So unless it's nighttime, then you can see the lights. But other than that, they're pretty amazing pictures. And it does raise some interesting questions. You know, to have cities of that size, I mean, not that they're huge cities like New York or Chicago, but they're certainly good size groups of buildings, and as you pointed out, some of them are pretty good size buildings. They didn't ferry all that material from Earth. In that amount of time, unless they've got legions of ships that could go back and forth from here to there. And then the other thing to concentrate on is the fact that it would take a considerable work crew to do all that work. And it isn't just raw materials that they'd need, but you know, you'd need generation equipment, you'd need fabrication equipment, earth moving equipment. My God, you'd need
yeah.
So much stuff that it would be unbelievable. And you'd need legions of people to do it. So it just brings up a lot of interesting questions.
My biggest question is, who's paying the taxes up there?
Well, you know, they haven't gotten to the point yet, unless they've enslaved a bunch of Martians, which that wouldn't surprise me either.
Of course, I'm being a bit facetious with that remark, but this is obviously done spending our tax dollars, and or it's done spending the drug money, you know, that they make from the illegal drug trade, which we know does finance NASA, despite what they tell us. And this, you know, this is not national security here. I mean, this is, if you want to get into what kind of security this might entail, this is interplanetary security. It definitely has something to do with the whole world. And the question is, if this is our society up there, definitely we've taken pictures and they've been able to transmit those pictures. So we have some relationship established with those who are there. Or those pictures never would have made it here. I would say that. And it belies the pictures that we've been shown of these two measly lunar, or, well, they're Mars rovers, these rovers that supposedly got so dirty and fouled up from the high-velocity winds blowing sand and other types of debris onto the lenses. And then miraculously, the next day, the lenses were clear, taking pictures again. Well, all they had to do was send somebody over there and wipe the lenses off. And that's basically what happened.
Of course. We know what they did. They launched a special rescue mission with another robot, and the other robot had an endless supply of Kleenex tissues with them. You know?
And Windex, right?
Yeah. That's obvious to me.
If you start using your logic, it is really insulting that they think that people just buy these lies and this deception that somehow that we are just so dumbed down and so stupid that we're not going to react to these denials and this spin and this propaganda that they put out. It's really disgusting.
Well, it is disgusting, but there's another little angle to this, too, that I've noticed in my few years tromping about on this planet, and that is that there may well be a large volume of people who are basically drooling saliva and babbling senselessly as they watch these incredible episodes of some of these movie stars on television.
drooling saliva.
Yeah, you know how it is. The primitive response to all this nonsense. But there is a silent group also that doesn't respond to that rubbish that is out there somewhere, and they're the ones who quietly think about all this stuff and realize what it is. And what's really going on. And every once in a while, you run into one of those. I always make it a habit while I'm traveling that if I stop for breakfast somewhere or check into a hotel and maybe I'll walk around in the lobby afterwards and strike up conversations with people. And I've done this all across the country. Every once in a while, You'll get somebody that really lays into this stuff and say, well, who the hell do they think they're fooling anyway? And then they get into all this stuff. And it's amazing what they've pieced together, even if they don't have as many facts as we do. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's still enough people out there with heads on their shoulders who are not really bamboozled by all this. I think the biggest problem is that they just haven't figured out what the heck to do about it. But one of these days, when the facts really hit the fan, I think that you're going to be surprised how many ticked off people there really are. And mm-hmm. I think the government knows this, to be honest with you. And even though they keep playing their game, I think they're somewhat worried because they may have all of their police allies in big cities and whatnot, and you know that the police forces have been militarized and they're all part of the U.S. armed forces now. So that might make them feel pretty good. But I think if you go out across the farmlands of the United States, the northern territories, places like Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, places like that, you're going to find a lot of ticked off people who represent probably a standing army somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 million strong. And they may not have helicopters and missiles at their disposal, but don't get them ticked off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that sooner or later the truth is going to do exactly that, because it's getting to the point where it can't be hidden anymore.
No, and this is maybe where this whole conversation now has led us to the point where the reason for that, and you well know this, is that this universe, at least the part of the universe we inhabit, is changing drastically and very rapidly, and it has to do with a higher consciousness, new energies that have entered into our solar system, affecting all the planets on our solar system. Unfortunately, Al Gore's postulation that this planet is heating up is not exclusive just to this planet. He may be right, but he's not honestly explained the reasons why. And I should get an award just for pointing that out. That I'm sort of joking there.
I'll send you a medal.
Will you? Okay, it's got to be a gold medal, though.
Well, how about gold plate? I can afford that.
Okay, gold plate would be fine. Here, he invented the internet, number one, and then he comes out and tells us, and he gets an award for this, for narrating a film about, you know, how the planet is heating up, and it's. I'm sure that there's some influence of hydrocarbons. After all, they turned oil into the world's economy. It's not the dollar. It's not gold even. It's oil, and they base everything that they do, everything they make, has oil in it now, including cereal. They'll get oil into the cereal box, and trust me, what do you think the plastic bag that they put inside the box is made of?
Yeah,
so they get oil into everything, and we have violated natural law to the extent through the use of the oil, and it's the oil companies that produce the oil. It's not the people. So the ultimate blame should be cast upon them if you're going to blame somebody about it. And I think this is just hogwash that they blame a handful of people that are driving a certain kind of vehicle. They never mention the buses. They never mention the jets and the airplanes and the trains and the military pollution that's created from depleted uranium and the firing of missiles and rockets and all the weaponry they use, not to mention what's going on in space as well. And for them to insult those of us that know better is a sin in and of itself, but they've shown themselves quite capable of committing many sins on many dimensions simultaneously. So we're at a point where the rest of the universe and the life that exists in the rest of the universe is watching everything we're doing. They're watching us destroy ourselves, and it's coming to the point where these sightings are really those visitors that are here to participate in the changes that are taking place. So there's a new consciousness coming here. Everything they're doing is bent on preventing us from awakening to that potential. Do you feel that yourself, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't classify myself as a hypersensitive individual like you are, but still, it's even obvious to anybody that's just mildly conscious that there's a change in the wind. But more importantly, if you look at the efforts, for instance, of amateur investigators and amateur scientists and people of that ilk around the world. Nowadays, they're concentrating on all kinds of potential energy sources, and all sorts of other inspirations are coming to people. It's changed drastically, especially in the last 15 or 20 years, as to what people are investigating, because they realize that this oil thing is a nightmare, and they're looking for ways to change the world. Of course, part of the problem is that well-meaning as these people are, they don't know what they're up against. Even if they discover something, God bless them if they do, the possibility of getting it out there still represents an incredible challenge. But even that has changed, because now they got the internet. You got people who no longer give a rip about maintaining control of the knowledge and keeping it hush-hush and making millions of dollars. They're more interested in the planet's survival. And so they just put their ideas out on the internet directly so that the rest of the world can make use of it. And you've got now millions of sites that have all kinds of research going on, not only with alternate energy, but also with medical stuff and electromedicine and natural compounds derived from plants and just all sorts of different things that are happening. And I don't think that they can control it anymore. The only problem is people in general haven't gotten the main message yet, but I think it's spreading. We talked not too long ago about how many people in the United States alone have just refused to pay income tax anymore. And I think it's more than 20 million right now that have just realized that it's all a scam, and they don't they just don't even send anything in.
I think it's 65 million, actually, is what I heard.
Well, whatever it is, it's growing,
yeah.
And that's a good thing. And so slowly but surely, the consciousness is changing. You can see it in all these little aspects. You know, it's not going to just be like an overnight transformation of everybody, but at least something's happening, and people are waking up. And,
yeah.
Of course, this is supposed to be the age of Aquarius that we're entered into, which is representative of that very thing, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So at least we may see some interesting transformations before we get planted, you know, Don? That would
mm-hmm.
be nice.
Well, you know, I always wondered about, the fact that the Federal Reserve creates money out of thin air, and that's the fiat banking system, the central banks. If they can create the money to run the economy out of thin air, then why aren't they creating the income tax out of the thin air?
Oh, well, that's a very simple answer. First of all, you know as well as I do that for every dollar they create out of thin air, that money is not just put into circulation with a smile. It's loaned to the federal government with interest, and they never produce enough money to cover the interest. So it's like playing musical chairs. There's always somebody's behind that doesn't land on a cushion. And this is very deliberate. And it's the same thing with the taxes. The real reason they have income taxes, of course, they enjoy fleecing you any way they can. There's no question about that. But the real reason for the income taxes is to control how much actual cash you and I have in our pockets, because the harder we have to work for our money, the less time we have to investigate and follow up on all the things that they're doing. And
mm-hmm.
It's an absolute crock that these huge funds are really what's supporting the government, because you know as well as I do that there isn't enough money in all of creation to support everything that these people are involved with. They've got the whole planet in debt at this point.
They do it through
the spread of democracy, so-called, you know.
Yeah.
It's very obvious that they're enslaving the whole planet little by little. And, of course, the question I've always had is, Well, that's all very well and good, but if you enslave the entire world, then where do the elite stand? In what position do the elite stand with respect to this world once they've ruined it? And the answer to that might be Mars. You know, maybe they're building the ultimate escape situation for them and their kind.
Mm-hmm.
They wind up living a separate existence on Mars where the average peon can't touch them, and then run the whole show from there. Who knows?
Jim,
I can tell you one thing. It's a lot more complicated than people believe.
Yeah. Jim, you sound like you've been listening to Evident Footprints Monday through Friday. I'm just kidding. That's what we've been talking about. Every night on the show, we talk about some aspect of this. And thank you for encapsulating that so well. Going back to these pictures of Mars, what's interesting about that website, and again, I'm repeating this for the listening audience, those that might have just joined us, MarsAnomalyResearch.com, the first two pictures on that page show the typical filtered out light of the red planet. You see these orangish, reddish, rust-looking mountain ranges, and then there is a crater. There is a central area that is obscured, and it's pointed out even on the photo itself that the evident site where the city is located is visible vaguely. And then when they zoom in with the pictures, you can see what it is that they're hiding. There's even cloud cover up there. There are trees, you know, there's vegetation there. And it's more than just something being manufactured. It looks very similar to what you see on Earth. And at the same time, the images are obscured in the typical way that they remove the green grass and the blue skies and the blue water. And also on this site, there are pictures of those glass tubes that we've talked about on other shows. The ones that I told you I saw in the astral plane. And it's evident by the size of this city, and there's probably more than one of these up there, that there are several million people up there on the planet. And it has that information has trickled down through the whistleblowers site, ProjectCamelot.org. Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy have been interviewing folks who have talked about this at great length and talked about their involvement in those programs. So we have people admitting to this. Now, who in their right mind would do that? Why would the government put that out there as disinformation? They don't want this information to come out. In fact, they've routinely attacked the website of Project Camelot. They attacked the website of bbsradio.com as well. They've been doing that for weeks now. And, they have to blame this on Al Gore. He created the internet. It's his fault that this is happening. And the global warming. I mean, if you use logic, you see that the point is you reach a point where there's nothing more you can say about it, and you just encapsulate all the statements together. And I mean, whose fault is it? Why is the internet taken as the hangout of the kooks and the wackos and the nuts? Well, that's what they like to call us because they cannot attack our message, so they have to attack our character. Or our mental capacity, our intelligence, or our integrity, when in reality, everything they do is bent upon mind control, brainwashing, and reducing the mass consciousness to the lowest level possible. There's no other way to sum up what they do in the mainstream media, and it's sponsored or mandated by government. It's mandated by all of these phony watchdog bureaucracies like the FCC and the EPA and the FDA and the CDC, and they have their three-letter alphabet soup for their agencies and for the drug companies and even the oil industry. The pattern is right there before us. Why is it so difficult for people to see that? Other than, I guess it has no real meaning when they just use initials.
No, it's like the old story about does the fish know he's in water? You know, if you're immersed in this stuff from the time you're born until the time you croak, it's just like an everyday thing, so you don't necessarily notice it. It's a way of life. And that, of course, goes hand in hand with the lower consciousness. You know, what does a mushroom notice? Who knows? But
it notices the omelet.
Yeah, it knows when it's in the omelet. But we'll be in the omelet very shortly, you know, so then a lot of people's consciousness are going to change.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting to see what comes out. I'm going to stay tuned to this site for one thing, and we'll probably see more of this around. What's interesting is the ex Air Force pilots really are fascinated with this stuff. When you talk to and the media does this on camera, when they talk to an astronaut, you've seen these interviews that the astronauts do when they come back from a shuttle mission or interplanetary travel of some sort, let's say to the moon and back, and you see the looks on their faces. They look like they've been hypnotized or drugged or really run through the ringer, so to speak. They call it debriefing. I mean, who are they protecting us from? Colonel Sanders?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's interesting you should mention that. Back in 1963, I believe it was, or no, 4, I guess it was 64, the year before my dad passed away, we went on a trip around the country as a family. And I think my dad had a premonition that he was going to die because he said, if we don't do it this year, we're never going to do it. And we visited a lot of his friends that he had made over the years on that trip. And when we were passing through Colorado, I won't mention the names of some of these people directly because they're very prominent individuals. But anyway, when we were going through Colorado, we stopped in a small town and visited a friend of his who had a guest ranch there. And at this guest ranch, I was privileged to meet two astronauts. I don't even know if I should mention their names. But we were with them for about...
This is Evident Footprints. We have to present the facts as they really are.
All right. Well, then I'll tell you. It was Deke Slayton and Frank Borman. And I had a long talk with... Borman was kind of tight-lipped, but Deke Slayton was a real down-to-earth type guy. And I had long talks with him about the subject of UFOs. And I'll never forget, he made a remark, which at the time, I mean, what was I then? Let's see, I was 16 or 17. He made a remark that I didn't quite understand at that time, because this was pre-Carini, I never forgot it, and basically what he said was, he said, well, you'd be really surprised if you knew what they were made of. And, you know, I just took that remark, you know, as part of the conversation at that point without realizing what it was implying. I mean, here's a guy that was deeply involved with the U.S. space program talking to me about UFOs and then come out and say, well, you'd be really surprised if you knew what they were made of. Certainly implies that he knew what they were made of. And if that's the case, then there was more going on than meets the eye, and that was already back in, like I say, 63 or 64. And he had a few other remarks, which I don't quite remember, but it was very evident if I remember correctly, he was into racing, racing cars, and he used to tell, he told me that he used to get together at these various racetracks with other people of his own ilk, and they would talk about these things quite bluntly and quite openly between themselves. So your earlier remark about the airline pilots is not surprising. I mean, these guys have spent their whole life flying through the skies, and God only knows what they see, and they're not allowed to talk about. But they can certainly talk about it amongst themselves, and I'll bet you they do. And when they retire, they probably tell other people. So it's just interesting that this has been going on for so long, and it's always a hush-hush deal, you know.
Thank God for Al Gore's invention, because that enabled these guys to send out emails, and you don't have to talk when you send an email out.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Well,
of course, you realize that Al Gore, he should really, he's wasting his time in one respect. He should really be teaching a course at MIT.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe he is. Maybe we just don't know about it, you know. Maybe that's...
He puts on a wig and some dark glasses, and nobody recognizes him as he teaches astrophysics at MIT.
He says, dagnabbit, they really exist out there. Well, Jim, the hour has flown by here, and I want to thank you for being on the show. It was fun tonight, and evidently the callers' phones have been disabled tonight because no one's called in. So I know there's people out there listening. I can hear you breathing. So we thank you for being on the show tonight. Now, I don't know if you noticed the schedule, Jim. I have 2 weeks' worth of schedules posted up, and I'm telling you this on the air, putting you on the spot. I moved you to Monday next week because we have invited Michael St. Clair to the show, and the only day he could appear was next Friday. And so I'm putting you on the spot. If you can't do the show, let me know by email or phone or something like that.
No, I'll commit to it right now. I'm just glad you reminded me, because lately I've been so involved with other projects that I very possibly could have forgotten.
Okay.
So I should put a note on my door here so I don't forget for Monday.
I'll remind you, though. I'll make it a point to remind you. Next week we have some great shows lined up. And, of course, Jim Murray will be on with us the entire hour on Monday night, and I have some interesting guests that have not been on the show before coming on. Tuesday, we will have Mr. Lindsay Williams on our Evident Footprints. Now, Lindsay Williams was the pastor at Prudhoe Bay Oil Fields, and he was part of the inside board meetings that took place when they were plotting out what they were going to do to the world with the oil prices and how they were going to control the oil markets. And he was inside the rattlesnake pit, so to speak, and he's going to be on Evident Footprints to tell us all about that. I have read his book, The Non-Energy Crisis, and he flat out tells us what is going on. You don't want to miss that show. Wednesday, I have Don Harkins and Ingrid Castle, my publishers from the Idaho Observer. They will pay us a visit. They've been on the show before. Rick Nelson from the Paranormal Research Forum will be our guest, and we're going to be talking about the Stan Romanek case and some phenomenon related to EVPs. I've been listening to some of these recordings that Rick has come across, and they're very interesting. I'm an audio engineer. I've been able to analyze these and figure out what these voices are saying, and that is going to be a very interesting show. We may be playing some of those for you on the air. Michael St. Clair on Friday will be a special two-hour show. I've gotten Don Newsom to commit to staying up an extra hour. Michael will be joining us with a detailed explanation of what is going on in the whole universe and some discussion about his new book, Foreseen, as well as his prior book, Zen of Stars. Michael is making some inventions, doing quite well. He's a consultant to many governments and corporations. Even the Greys, he tells me, are consulting with him. So it's pretty interesting, the information he comes up with. So you don't want to miss that. And, Jim, I put you on the spot by shifting you to Monday night to enable that to occur. But as always, you're so gracious and accommodating, and so we thank you for that.
No problem, Doug.
So thank you for coming on tonight changing your mind about the boycott. it's been a lot of fun tonight. These improvised shows are fun. We have to do this more often. Maybe we'll do this Monday as well. And maybe we'll get some callers on Monday. Any closing comment you want to make, Jim?
Well, the only thing that I would like to say is, and you know me, I always speak my mind. If there are folks out there who want to call in, they should go ahead and do it. I mean, what is the big deal? The only fear that you should have about the whole thing, is will you be recognized by the uncle? Don't worry about it. He already knows who you are. Just call us and let's hear what's on your mind. Right, Don?
Well said. I couldn't have said it better. In fact, that's why I let you say it. You always say it better than me. Okay, Jim, listen, you have a great weekend. Folks, be sure to tune in to BBS Radio throughout the week. Listen to the many enlightening shows. And shout out to all my friends around the world. I'm getting more of them as the days go on. And, Jim, I'll see you Monday night, folks. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Peace, love, and light. And good night.
Good night.
We got our coffee, and we got this real nice campfire. Now all we need is the radio. Go get that radio so we can listen to BBS.
Gosh darn, boss. We got this here radio, but we ain't got no batteries.
Well, I told you to buy some batteries yesterday, but you forgot to buy them today.
A man can only do so many things in one day. Go into town and get some for the both of us.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Dag nabbit, you and your BBS radio.